The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Menachot, Daf Tzadichet. Today's Daf is being sung in the Shvod of Rambam Esther. Rabbi Moshe ben Nun, Ruach Hashem Tenechenu, Begit Tenechem, Begana Eden, Amen. We are on Tzadichet, Amud Rishon. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down. We learned in the previous Daf that there is a Shi'ur called an Ammah. The Ammah was used to measure the different measurements in the Beit HaMikdash. We gave two different Shi'urim of an Ammah. Sometimes the Ammah is measured by 5 Tefachim. Sometimes the Ammah is measured by 6 Tefachim. A 6 Tefachim Ammah, the Gemara called it on the previous Daf, an Ammah Benonit. A mediocre Ammah is a 6 Tefachim Ammah. Kama Ammah Benonit? How much is an Ammah Benonit? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shisha Tefachim. Amar Rabbi Yosef Bar Avin, Afanan Amitanin Rabbi Meir Omer, Hashulchan, Orko 12, Verohbo, Shisha. Rabbi Meir said that the Shulchan, the table, was 12 Tefachim by 6 Tefachim. Where did he get 12 by 6? Because the Torah says that the Shi'ur of the Shulchan was 2 Ammah by 1 Ammah. And he says that that's 12 by 6. So what do you see from over there? That each Ammah must be 6 Tefachim. Mechlal. The Havya Ammah Denfisha Mina. If you're telling me that the Midah Benonit, or the Ammah Benonit is 6, that's a mediocre Ammah, must be that there's an Ammah that's even more than 6. We know there's an Ammah of 5, but if you tell me that this is the middle Ammah, it must be there's a bigger one. Yabara says, In. There is. Like we learned. It's not a question, it's a proof. Like we learned, Shte Amot. Shushan Abira. There were two different sticks, or measuring sticks, that were used. And they were placed Bishushan Abira. Not in Shushan Abira, in this actual city. There was a room in the Beit HaMikdash above the eastern gate. They called that room the Shushan Abira room. We'll see why they called it the Shushan Abira room. And in that room over there, they had two measuring sticks. And the Torah tells us about them. Achat al keren mizrachit zafonit. One stick they placed in the northeast corner of the room. Vahat al keren mizrachit derumit. And one on the southeast corner. Shal keren mizrachit zafonit. The one that was in the northeast corner. Yetera al shel Moshe. Hatzi etzba. Was bigger. It was an Ammah stick. Each stick was the shiur of an Ammah. But that stick was a little bit bigger than the Ammah Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ammah Moshe Rabbeinu was 6. This was 6 and an etzba. Actually 6 and hatzi etzba. Yitral Moshe hatzi etzba. So it was 6 plus half an etzba longer. She'al kerem mizrahit derumit, but the one on the southeast corner, hayta yitra alea hatzi etzba. The second stick was bigger than the first stick by half an etzba. Nimset yitra al shel Moshe etzba. That means the second stick was 6 to 5 plus an etzba. Ve'lama amru achat gedola v'achat ketana. Why would you need two measurements? Why would you need a different shi'urim? Which is, what was the matter with the shi'ur of Moshe Rabbeinu? What's the matter with the 6 Tefachim Ammah? What do you need two measuring sticks? That one is 6 plus a half an etzba, and then 6 plus an etzba. For what purpose do you need them for? Kedei shiyu ha'umanim notlim beketana u'ma'azirim begedola. Kedei shelo yavou lidei me'ila. Which means, when the workers would be hired to do a job, so they would measure it according to the stick of Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning according to the Ammah of Moshe Rabbeinu of 6. And they would get paid. But when they would provide the job, they would build it according to the bigger sticks. Why? Because they wanted to give the Beit HaMikdash extra. Because they didn't want to, Chas v'Shalom, build it less than measurement, and then already, Chas v'Shalom, they're taking money for Hikdash for not doing the job. They did not want to be Mor'el. They didn't want to take more money for Mikdash than the job that they did. So therefore, when they measured it, they measured it according to the exact measurement of 6 Tefachim per Ammah. But when they actually did the job, they measured it with the biggest stick to give the advantage to Hikdash. So they shouldn't get paid for money that they didn't do the proper job. But that doesn't answer the question fully. So why did you need two sticks, 1 6 and half an etzba, and 1 6 plus an etzba? So Gemara says, "V'tarti la'mali ha lekaspa v'dahaba v'hadad le'binyana." One, when it measured gold and silver is expensive. And therefore, although the umanim, the craftsmen, wanted to give the advantage to Ekdesh, but we don't want to cost them so much money, so they would give them the stick, they would measure with the six and half an etzba. Because gold and silver is expensive. When it came to the actual construction of the building, which is cheaper, so then already they used the stick of six plus an etzba. Again, they measured it with the stick of six tefahim per amma. When they did gold work and silver work, which is expensive, they gave an advantage to Ekdesh by half an etzba. And when they did building work, which is cheaper, they gave Ekdesh the advantage of 6 to 9 plus an etzba. Tananatam shara mizrach alav shushan abira surah. It says by the eastern gate, above the eastern gate, there was an image, the picture of Shushan Abira. And that was the room over there, the Shushan Abira room. Why would they have a Shushan Abira room in the Bet HaMikdash? Maitar Amar, Afrazda, Rabbi Yitzchak, Bar Abdimi, Had Amar, Kedeh, Shiyidu, Mehechan, Ba'u. In order they should remember from which exile did they come here from. They came from the second Bet HaMikdash, they came from Galut, Paras. That's where they were from in the times of Hashverosh. That the 70 years were up, and who sent them back into Eretz Yisrael? Paras. So therefore, they want you to remember in order to give gratitude to Malchut Paras. V'had amar, kedei she'emat Malchut alehem. The contrary. They wanted, the Parsim wanted the Jewish people to have fear of the Malchut. So therefore they put an image of Shushan HaBira to remind them of Malchut Paras. That means this was done by Melech Paras. The first explanation is the Jew made the picture of Shushan HaBira, so they should remind themselves of the Hakarat HaTov they owe to Malchut Paras. The second shot is no, the king of Paras told them to build this image, so they can remember Paras, and if they have fear of the kingdom. Amar Bianai, Le'olam te'emat malchut alecha. A person always has to have fear of the government, or fear of the ruling kingdom. Shne'emar, when Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Paro about Makat Bechorot, so what does he say about the plague of Bechorot? V'yaredu kol abadecha elle elai v'shtahavuli lemor. Which means all of your servants at the time of Makat Bechorot are going to come running to me because they're going to be petrified because everybody's going to be dying and all the servants are going to be coming running to me and saying, leave, please go out, don't hurt us anymore. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu did not tell that to Paro, about Paro. V'ilu ledideh lo ka'amale. He didn't tell Paro, you're going to come running to me begging us to leave, even though that's what really what happened. But out of Kavod Malchut, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to speak to the king in such a way to say, you're going to come begging me to leave. Therefore he said, your servants are going to beg to leave. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu knew that Paro himself was going to beg to leave, like he did actually when the Makkah happened. But from here we learned that even so you have to have Kavod and Emat Malchut, fear of the kingdom. Rabbi Yohanan Amar Mehagash Ne'emar. V'yad Hashem hayta el Eliyahu v'yishanes motna v'yarutz lufnei Ahav ad bo'aka Yisrael. This was talking about by Eliyahu HaNavi. After he did the great miracle on Har Karmel, and he brought the rain after many years of drought, so the king Ahav left on his horse and was traveling back to the kingdom, and he was all alone. Eliyahu HaNavi felt it would not be kavod for a king to travel without an entourage, to travel alone. Therefore it says he girded himself and he ran very speedily, faster than the horses, because he had to catch up to the horse of Ahab, just in order that he can escort the king, even though Ahab was an enemy of Eliyahu HaNavi. But what do you see over here? Kavod Malchut or Yirat Malchut, that Eliyahu HaNavi afforded the respect to Ahab to give him the proper escort. Comes the Torah Gemara and gives us another machloket between Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Ve'alehu letrufa. It says, La'atid Dabod, there's going to be herbs that are going to grow from outside of the Kodesh Kodashim. And it says that the herbs are going to be a terufa. They're going to be healing. They're going to be medicinal. Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Had amar lehatir pe shelemala. The had amar latir pe shelemata. Some say that the healing is going to be that God forbid if somebody's mute, if somebody's not able to talk, they're going to give him from this terufa, and it's going to open up pe lemala, the upper mouth. And some say it's pe lemata, that the women that are akarot, infertility, that are not able to give birth, that this terufa they're going to take is going to give them an ability to be fruitful. Itmar Hizkiyah amar latir pe illemim, that this herb is going to open up the mouths of the mute. Bar kapara amar latir pe akarot, that it's going to be able to open up the womb of the women that are akarot. Anu rabbanan. Now we're going to discuss now the lechem apanim. We know that on the table there was 12 showbread. We also know that there were two piles. And we also know that each pile had 6 in a pile. Nothing that I just said should be taken for granted. All of it is learned from the Pesukim. Again, that you need 12, that it's got to be done in 2 piles, and each pile is 6. The Gemara now is going to give us how we came to that conclusion. Taru Rabbanan, Ilu ne'emar ve'lakachta solet, you should take flour. Ve'afita otah 12 halot, bake 12 loaves. Ve'samta otam 2 ma'arachot, and put them into 2 piles. Ve'lo ne'emar shesh, and it didn't say piles of 6. It didn't say shesh. Hayti omer ve'achat shel arba ve'achat shel shmona. I would say 2 piles, 1 of 8 and 1 of 4. I would not know that they have to be equal. Ve'kach ne'emar shesh. To come and teach you that each pile has to be 6. Ve'ilu ne'emar, shtayim ma'arachot, shteya ma'arachet. If it would have said 2 piles, 6 per pile, ve'lo ne'emar, shtem esre. And it didn't tell me altogether the total of 12. It didn't say that in the pasuk. Hayti omer, shalosh shel shesh shesh. I would have said 3 piles of 6 each, and I would have read the pasuk like this. I would have read the pasuk shtayim ma'arachot, which means I would say you have 2 piles, and then when it says shesh ma'arachet, it's coming to tell me it's an additional pile. Shtay ma'arachot, shesh ma'arachet. I would have said 3 piles of 6. Altogether, you had 18 loaves. That's what it has to tell me. No, it's altogether 12. So I don't come to make the wrong assumption that it's 3 piles of 6. Tell me that the total is 12. If it would have told me 12 loaves and 2 piles, which is ma'arachot, but it didn't say the word exactly, if it just would have said 2 piles of 12. Now the Chavrav is 2 piles of 12. What would I have said? Hayiti omer. I would have said shalosh shel arba arba. I would have said 3 piles of 4 each. Again, it would have said 12 halot, 12 loaves, u'ma'arachot. And it would say ma'arachot. So something, how much is ma'arachot? Let's say maybe it's 3 piles. It's 1, 2, 3 piles. And therefore, the kachdama shtayim v'shesh. That's what it has to say. It's shtayim ma'arachot of 6 each, which altogether is 12. Which means if any of these words in the pasuk were not there, I would come to the wrong conclusions. Therefore, it has to say shtayim, shesh, and shtemese. To teach you 2 piles, 6 in each pile, altogether 12. Ha! The Gemara concludes. Ad shelo ye'amru shelosha mikraot halalu, until the pasuk gave us all 3 words, lo lamadnu, I would not know the bottom line result. Haketzad, what do you do bottom line? Noten shtayim ma'arachot, 2 piles, shel shesh, shesh, vim natan achad shel arba v'achad shel shemona, lo yatza. It's been a Torah. You need to do it that way. And if you did it the wrong way, if you did 8 in one pile and 4 in the other pile, the deen is lo yatza. Shtayim shel sheva sheva. Now let's say you did 2 piles of 7 loaves in each pile. You did extra. So the bi omer ro'in et ha'aliyona kilu ena. He says, no problem. Look at the top 2 in each set as if they're not there. And therefore you have 6 and 6, and disregard the top. Gemara says, v'abainan v'natata al. The Torah says that you have to take the bazichim. the two spoons filled with frankincense. And where do you put those two spoons? You put it on top of the top loaf. Now if you tell me the top loaf doesn't count, so it's a hatzitza, it's an interference. You tell me disregard the top loaf. What do you mean disregard the top loaf? You're putting the bezikin, the spoons go on the top loaf. So how can you tell me you disregard? If you're disregarding it, so then it's not considered like it's on the table. The bezikin. Amar le rafazda le rabimiruna v'amar le rabimiruna le rafazda rabbi le ta'amed amar al besamuch. When it says that you place the bezikin ala shulchan, it doesn't mean that you place them ala lechem. It doesn't mean you place them on the lechem. It means next to the lechem. Remember we had a shita that said that according to this opinion, they put the loaves next to each other. There was a little space in between the two sets, and they would place the bezikin on the table itself. So when it says al lechem, it doesn't mean on the lechem. It means next to the lechem. The word al can also mean next to. So therefore, you put seven and seven, no problem. The top two, disregard. Either bezikin, putting it on the table itself. But it says you're putting it on the bread. No, al doesn't mean on. Al means next to. Netanya Rabbi Omer. Venatata al ma'arechet, on the piles, limona zaka al besamuch. Ata omer al besamuch o eno ela al mamash. Maybe it means al mamash, kishu omer, vesakota al aron et parochet. It says by the aron, on the aron you place the curtain. Now we know the curtain, the parochet, was not on the aron. The curtain of the Kodesh was next to the Aron. Have Omer al Besamuch. Just like over there it says, Venata. Vesakota al Aron et a kaporet et a parochet. And we know it's not al, the parochet was not on the Aron. It's next to. So to this must be also next to. Kol HaKedim Shemikdash. We learned in the Mishnah that all the vessels in the Mikdash, when they were placed and positioned, they were placed length of the Beit HaMikdash, going east-west. The length of the Beit HaMikdash, we learned on yesterday's Daf, was 187 Amot. From the beginning of the Azara, all the way to the end of the Kodesh Kodeshim. East-west was the long way. And therefore all the Kelim in the Beit HaMikdash were placed going east-west. Tanu Rabbanan kol HaKelim Shel Mikdash, Orkan Orko Shel Bayit, which means the length of the keli was to the length of the Beit HaMikdash, meaning east-west, chutz me'aron, except when it came to the ark, she'orko le'ruhbo shel bayit, which means the length of the ark went to the width of the Beit HaMikdash, that means the length of the aron went north-south. Kach haya munach, that's the way it was placed, ve'kach hayu badav munachim, and that's the way the poles that were in the aron were placed. My kamar, what does that mean? This is the way it was placed, and this is the way the poles were placed. What is the Gbaraita introducing over here, the poles? You're trying to tell me that the Aron was the exception. That the length of the Aron was to the width of the Beit HaMikdash. What does the poles have to do with it? Hachika Amar, kach haya munach. You know how I know that? Midibadav kach munachim. From the fact that I know that the badim, that the poles in the bit, in the aron were placed east-west, and they were on the sides of the aron, so that's clear that the aron itself must have been going north-south, which means the badim themselves were on the width of the aron. That means they placed it on the sides of the aron, on the width of the aron, on the narrow part. And therefore, if the badim were on the width side of the aron, that means the length of the aron was on the width of the Beit HaMikdash. And the Gemara is going to give you the example not to tell you how it looked. Habadim enuti al ruchbo shel aron, va'orek shel aron hevdil b'nehem. Exactly, the length of the aron was in between. And you had the badim on both sides. That's why the Braita says the badim. From the badim, I know exactly the position that the aron was. Was placed, exactly. Yes, exactly. Here's the length of the, that means the length went to the width. That's north-south. And going east-west on the sides, to the width of the aron, you had the badim. Exactly. Oh, how do you know that part? Ubadav min alam. So what I says, the Tanya, v'yarichu abadim. The badim was so long. Now keep in mind, let's just get the perspective. This is in the Kodesh. Okay, the Aron is in the Kodesh. Now, the Kodesh Kodashim. So the Kodesh Kodashim. And you have a parochet over here. Okay, Parochet is separating between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. Now, the poles over here are going to hit the curtain, it's going to say. That if you're looking from the outside of the curtain, you'll see like two protrusions of the poles themselves sticking through the curtain itself. That's how you know it was east-west. Because if it was going north-south, you're not going to hit the curtain. So the Gemara is going to prove it, the fact that we know the Badim hit the curtain, so therefore must have been going east-west. The Gemara says, Vayarichu Abadim. The Kohanim made sure that to make the poles long towards the Yechal. Yechon, lo ayu nugim beparochet. You think that they were long, but they did not touch the parochet, the curtain. Tamud lomar veyirau. No, they were seen. Meaning, when you looked at the parochet, you saw that the poles were touching it. Ah, iva yirau yachol yu mikarain beparochet veyotzin. Maybe they punctured two holes in the parochet and they went all the way through. No, tamud lomar lo yirau achutza. They were visible, but not visible on the outside. Haketzad. How can it be visible but not visible on the outside? Dohakin uboltin b'parochet domin kiminshned da de'isha shene emar srora mor dodili ben shadayalim. The two poles, they pressed against the parochet. So when you looked at the outside, it looked like the two dadim, the breasts of a woman that protrude outside of the curtain, but you don't see them, they're covered. So the same thing over here, the two poles pressed against the aron, on the parochet, on the outside you saw it, but it did not penetrate all the way through. Like it says in the pasuk, Ben Shaddai Yalin. Shaddai is like Shaddaim. Like the Badei Aron, the Shaddaim of an Isha. Ben Shaddai Yalin. God says, I rest over there. That's where the Shekinah rested. Oh, the Gemara says, Min alan de badav lefutya daron avu yetve. But who told you that the Badav themselves were to the width of the Aron? Dilma le'orka de Aron avu yadve. Maybe they were also placed to the length of the Aron. Amar biyuda tre gabre be'ameta upalga. Lo mistagelehu. Okay, let's figure this out now. What's the Gemara's question, Bichlal? You're telling me it was on the width side. That I understand. Going east, west. That's why it touched the parochet. What's the other side to say? Maybe they were on the length side of the Aron. The Aron was going lengthwise, east-west. And the poles were, you have to say, the poles were in the front.
Right.
You have to say the poles, they were on the length side, but they were going which way? They were not going, they go straight. Yeah, the rings, they go straight. Yeah, maybe it was that way. So Gemara says, no, Amar Biuda can't be. Tre gavre, two people, Tamtau Palga and Aman Hef, lo mistagele, they cannot stand. Says, the Shnei Anashim, lo maspik makom shel Amma v'chetzi, b'chdei l'aknis l'tocho. That's why. Me'achad she'et Aron asu Shnei Anashim mekol tzad. There were two people that carried the Aron on each side. Shalchu ben bade Aron. They would stand in between the poles. Right, you cannot fit people in between the poles. If you're going to say the badim were placed the orko shel Aron, and the space between the badim was only an amma and a half, which is the shiur of the rochav of the Aron. They would not be able to stand in between. And therefore you have to say it was placed by Ruach HaBa'aron. Now you've been him Reva Sheshte Amud Mechetzi. And you had the length of the Aron, 2.5 Amma, so they were able to stand in that spot over there, Kishur Orko. Okay, very good. You understand what we just said? If you're going to say that the Aron, if you're going to put the Badim this way, on the Aron, So where they're going to stand, the two people that are carrying it, they have to stand in this area over here. This is only 1.5. And the width of the Aron, they have to stand to hold the poles. Two people cannot stand in such a small area. Okay? Again, you have one person standing to carry the one pole on the right side and one to carry the pole on the left side. But they're both standing in the width area. Too narrow for two people to stand to negotiate to carry the Aron. But if you say that they place the Badim on the width side, this is 2.5 Amma. So two people could stand on the length area of the Aron. One guy carries the pole from this side, one guy carries the pole from that side. It fits. It's practical to do it that way. Otherwise, would it be impractical for the people to stand in that small area? I mean, I learned about Abu Darudehu, but who told you there were four people carrying? It says Kehatim Nosea Mikdash. Kehatim is plural, is two. Nosea Mikdash, those that carry the Mikdash, it's another two. So therefore, it was four people, two in the front, two in the back, that would carry the Aron from the poles. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Baraita. Asara Shulchanot, Asara Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech made in the Beit HaMikdash for decorative purposes 10 tables. Shne'emar Vayachas Shulchanot Asara Vayanach Bahechal Hamisha Miyamin Vahamisha Misimol. He placed it in the Hechal, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left side. Ve'im Tomar. And if you're going to tell me that what it says 5 on the right and 5 on the left means Hamisha Mimina Peta Vahamisha Misimol Peta, then you tell me the entrance of the Hechal, 5 on the right side of the entrance and 5 on the left side of the entrance of the Echal. Imken, Masinu Shulchan Bedarom. It's going to come out that the Shulchan is going to be on the south side of the Echal. Let's review again. There was an entrance into the Beit HaMikdash. You went from east to west. So there was a Echal. They had an entrance over there. So it says a petach haya be'emsa kotla mizrachi shel ha'echal, v'imken kol ha'shulchanot shemunachim b'simol ha'nichnas derech ha'petach. Okay, good. So when you're entering, the shulchanot that are to the left are on the south side. Od pam, if you're saying that they put it when you entered, they put 5 on the right of the entrance, or 5 on the left of the entrance, that means it's going to be menorot. Not menorot. Shulchanot, they're going to be on the south side. Because when you enter the Echal, the menorot to your left are on the left side of the Darom side, the south side of the Echal. And what's the problem? HaTorah Amra v'Shulchan titin al sila safon. That we know that the Shulchan has to be placed in the north. Even though the Torah said only Moshe's table has to be on the south side, Shlomo's also mistama are going to follow the same rule of the Torah. Because otherwise, I can tell you what I mean. These are extra shulchanot. It's not the mandatory ones. And the Mefarshim say no. That just like Moshe's table had to be on the south side, all the shulchanot had to be on the south. So you cannot tell me 5 on the right, 5 on the left means when you enter the Echal. Because then you're going to have 5 tables on the wrong side. Ela what it must be. Ela shel Moshe ba'emsa. V'chamisha mimino, v'chamisha misimolo. That's what it means. Everything was on the south side. Moshe's table was in the middle. Then you had 5 tables on the right of it and 5 tables on the left of it. But it's all on the south side of the Hechal. Tanu Rabbanan. Eser menorot asa Shlomo shneemar v'yaaset menorot azav eser. כמשפטם בייתן בייחל 5 מימין ו5 מסמול. ואם תאמר 5 ממין הפתח ו5 מסמול הפתח, אם כן מצינו מנורה בספון, והתורה אמרה ואת המנורה נוכח השולחן. That we know that the menorah has to be across from the shulchan. That means the menorah was on the south, was on the north side. And menorah was on the south side. And the shulchan had to be on the north side. So you're going to tell me if you're going to put to the right and to the left when you enter, so then the tables are not going to be facing the menorah, the tables are going to be on the same side as the menorah, which cannot be. It's saying the same thing, just adding us the factor of the menorah. The menorah was in the darom, and it says it's facing the shulchan. The shulchan is facing the menorah. So that means you have the shulchan on one side and on the other side. But if you tell me you put five and five, that means you can have tables on the same side as the menorah. So Rabbi says, Ela, Shem Moshe be'emsa, be'chamesh mimina, be'chamesh v'simola. Same thing, like we explained. Five on the right, five on the left, and Moshe Rabbeinu was right in the middle. One more point regarding the table in the Echad. Tanu Rabbana, Tani Chada. Mechatzi bayit v'lifnim hayu munachim. V'tani Chada, mishlish habayit v'lifnim hayu munachim. V'ila kasha. Mor kachashiv bet kodshi hakodashim v'ade Echad. Mor lo kachashiv bet kodshi hakodashim v'ade Echad. It says, where did they put? How deep into the Hechal that they placed the Shulchan. So one statement says that it was placed Mahatsi Abai B'lifnim. It was placed half the Shi'ud. Kalamar kol ha-Shulchanot imunahim b'hatsi ha-pinimi shel ha-bayit. V'lo haya afilu achad mehem shunach b'hatsi ha-sheni shepunet l'tzad ha-petah. Which means they were all in the second half of the bet of the Hechal. None of the Shulchanot, the ten, were in the first half of the Echad. They were all from the half point onward. Second, she tells them, Mishlisha by Vilifnim. They were at the third point. Hayu Munahim. Make up your mind. One saying they were deeper in, and one saying they were, sounds like they were closer to the Echad. They were at the third point, not at the half point. Make up your mind where they were. That's all the same Shiur. It all depends what you're calculating. Lakashya. More, the one that said third kachashim bet kodesh kodeshim badeichal, he counted the kodesh kodeshim, which was also had a shi'ur with the hechal, and therefore according to that, it's a third because the orech of the bayit was 60 amma, and the tables were placed after 20 amma from the petah of the hechal. Very good. That means from the hechal all the way to the end of the Kodesh Kodeshim was 60 Amma. So the tables were placed a third in. Third in is 20 Amma. And the more the other Shita says, therefore you minus 20 because the Kodesh Kodeshim was 20. So therefore you just have the Echad which was 40. Half of that is what? 20. They're basically saying the same thing. Either one third of 60 or one half of 40. But basically the tables were all in the same spot. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen.